Reading from Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, Vrindavan Das Thakur, Ved Vyas, in chapter 13, Deliverance of Jagai Madhai, continuing with the prayers of Jagai Madhai and glorification of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, known as Jagai Madhai Stuti. Vrindavan Das Thakur is saying that if anyone repeats or hears this Jagai Madhai Stuti, Krishna Bhakti Labhya, Krishna Bhakti Labhya, he will attain Krishna Bhakti. So the very nice prayers, we heard the... If anyone hears these prayers, so we're all hearing them, and we will attain Krishna Bhakti. Krishna Bhakti Labhya, hi. Vishambara Vishambara Dara, Vinod Acharya, Sarvakarya. There's all these different end rhymings, very nice. We've been hearing. So this is, we heard about Mishra Anandana Chaitanya Sharana. Then we heard Karuna Sindhu Chaitanya Bandhu. This is text 254. Jaya Raja Pandit Duhita Praneshwar, Jaya Nityananda Kripa Maya Kalevar. All glories to the beloved Lord of the Raj Pandit's daughter. All glories to Nityananda, whose body is filled with compassion. Se jaya prabhu tumi jatakara kaj, jaya Nityananda Chandra, Vaishnav Adi Raj. All glories to the activities, all glories to all the activities of the Lord. All glories to Nityananda Chandra, the emperor of all the Vaishnavas. Nityananda Chandra Vaishnavadi Raj. So he's... Jagai Madhai are glorifying Nityananda as Vaishnavadi Raj. He's the original Lord of all the Vaishnavas, Vaishnavadi Raj. So Siddhanta Saraswati has a very interesting purport. Sri Nityananda Prabhu is the emperor of all the Vaishnavas. So he's the Samrat. What do they call it? Samrat. Samrat means emperor. The Samrat, Vaishnav Samrat, the emperor of all the Vaishnavas. Pure Vaishnavas are always eager to serve the Lord in a mood of separation by displaying the ideal example of serving Krishna in the path, in his pastimes of searching for Krishna. Sri Nityananda Prabhu has achieved domination over Lord Gaurasundara. So this is the example. Nityananda gave this example. What is the example? It's the ideal example of searching for Krishna. We see that the acharyas in our line of devotion, they're very much searching for Krishna. Hey Rad, hey Rajadevi ke chalalite, hey Nanda suno kutaha. Kutaha, kahan. Hey Krishna, where are you? Are you on the banks of the Jamuna? Are you on Govardhan Hill? Are you in the Gufa, Kandara? Are you in the caves of Govardhan? Or are you in the Kadamba Kandi? Where are you? And our Paraguru, Gorakishwar Das Babaji, is praying in Bengali, Kotai go premamai radhe radhe, Kano mano mohini radhe radhe, Ashtashaki shiromani radhe radhe, Vrishabhano nandini radhe radhe. He's all over Braj, searching. Kotai go prema mai radhe radhe. Kotai, where? Where is prema mai radha? Searching, searching. So this is the actual mood. Searching means separation. Searching means looking for something you have lost, or looking for something that you haven't lost, but looking for something you're trying to find. Sometimes in the 15th century, people were searching for the fountain of youth. There was some idea that you could go to some country, some land, and some place and find a pool like we hear in the Bhagavatam when the demigods and demons were fighting in their numerous battles. That, I think it was Shukracharya, he had some type of Sanjeevani Ras swimming pool. a swimming pool, like we have people, rich people have swimming pools behind their house. They have a little contained body of water and they swim inside their swimming pool or diving board. They dive into it. So he had a pool of Sanjeevani Ras. So when the soldiers would be wounded in the battle with the demigods, and they would take a dip inside, and all their wounds would be healed instantaneously. Their bodies would be rejuvenated and refreshed, and they would go back again to the battle. So this is described. It really existed. So in Bible and different Shastric traditions, there is this idea, there is a fountain of youth, because no one wants to get old. But these are the built-in features of the material world. Janma mritu jara vyadi. Vyadi, old age, jara. I mean, jara, old age, vyadi, disease. No one escapes. The rich don't escape. The famous don't escape. The wealthy don't escape. But no one wants. So people were searching for some fountain of youth. Of course, the fountain of youth is Krishna consciousness. Because when we realize Krishna, then we attain our nitya navayovanam, nitya sarup, nitya siradeya, our eternal spiritual body, which is eternally youthful. As it's told in Gorgovinda Smarana Archana Padati, it explains the actual age, the eternal age of Krishna. Krishna doesn't get 1 minute older. He's always 15 years, 9 months, 7.5 days. I always find it very humorous that it's even calculated down to the half a day. And Radharani is 14 years, 2 months, and 15 days, eternally. Nitya Navayovanam, Navayovanam, youthful. So this is telling here that Nityananda, he's in a mood of searching for Krishna, and this is the ideal example, searching for Krishna. The search is in two planes. The search for Krishna is going on in two planes. One plane is the external search for Krishna. Parikshit Maharaj, he was engaged in the external search for Krishna. He was meeting different sadhus and different people and traveling different places. Parikshit, the examiner. Pariksha, like the Vaidya takes the pulse, is called Nadi Pariksha. Nadi Pariksha, he examines your nadi, the currents, the nerve currents, the pranic channels of the human body. Each organ has its pranic channel, the liver channel, the heart channel, the gallbladder channel, and he manipulates his fingers in different ways on your wrist, and he takes a reading, Nadi Pariksha, to understand the position of your internal health of your organs. So Parikshit, he was examining. I saw Krishna in the womb, and now I'm searching for that Krishna. I'm examining everyone. So he was searching for Krishna on the external plane. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was in Radhabhav, and he would ask, he would meet someone, "Can you show me Krishna? Where is Krishna? Where is Nanda Nandan? Where is Yashoda Nandan? My heart is breaking. Can you take me to him? Can you show me?" And he would meet different people. He was so exasperated and so beside himself in separation. When he came to the Jagannath Mandir, when Mahaprabhu was approaching the Jagannath Mandir, he grabbed the chokidar, some innocent, stupid chokidar. Everyone knows chokidar. They can't. They're usually pretty stupid. And they just mind. They do their job, and they do what they do. It's not expected that they're very learned or very cultured or whatever. But they do their job. They have their function. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes up and grabs him and starts shaking him. Where's Krishna? Can you take me to Krishna? Where's Krishna? Take me. Where's Krishna? And he said, You can imagine you're a little tiny Arisan chokidar, a little skinny, short Arian chokidar in front of Jagannath's temple, and this towering, massive, 7-foot giant from the spiritual world, Gauranga Sundara, comes and grabs you and practically shakes the wits out of you, shakes you to death, and in a feverish voice, "Where's Krishna?" And he's, ah, 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 ah.
He's inside. And then he took Lord Chaitanya. I'll show you. He's like, he's ready. I'll show you. So then the Chokidar brought him in the temple. He's, there he is. And then Mahaprabhu says, yes, Shamsundar, Brajendranandan. So he was asking and searching everywhere. Where is Krishna? So this is searching for Krishna on the external plane. And this is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati is writing that the search for Krishna on the external plane should be complete, should be a full endeavor. And he phrases it like this. In one's attempt to find God or realize God, he should be ready, he should be ready to search the entire world to find his Sadguru. This is the first. Searching on the external plane means to find someone who knows where the fountain of youth is. And then you say, do you know where the fountain of youth is? Yes, I know. Can you show me? Yes, I'll show you. But first, surrender. Right? So he's saying one should be, this is how serious we should be about finding Sadguru. It's not that any guru walks in the town, I am guru. Oh, okay, you're guru. Okay, I'm his shishya. I'm your disciple. And what are the qualifications? Examine what is the lakshana, surup lakshana, tatastha lakshana of this guru, their qualities, attributes, characteristics, and study. It says in Padma Pran, Hari Bhakti Vilas, it's in English now also, it's telling that the disciple should examine his guru and vice versa for a minimum of 3 years before taking diksha. Then some verses in the same section said at least one year. But the traditional standard was 3 years. So searching for Krishna on the external plane for the conditioned soul means searching for the Sadguru, because he will show the way to Krishna. Then the second plane of searching for Krishna is searching for Krishna on the internal plane, the heart region, the mental region. Because Krishna is the nearest person to all of us. The Chaitya Guru is side by side. The nearest friend, the dearest friend, the closest friend, the warmest friend. Krishna says, I'm outside, I'm controlling everything. I'm the Virata Rupa, I'm Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, I'm Mahavishnu. I'm controlling everything. I'm that huge, inconceivable, fantastic, Achintya Rupam God. So powerful, so massive, so extraordinary, so many unlimited vibhutis and powers and influences. Bhoktaram, Yagatapasam, Sarvalokamaheshram. That's out there, but wait a minute. There's another aspect of myself. That's the Aishwarya Mahigyan. Aishwarya Mahigyan, that's Aishwarya Mahigyan of Bhagavan. But I have a sweet aspect. I have an intimate aspect. I have a confidential aspect, and I have a Rahasya aspect. I have a very secret aspect. Rahasya means very secret. I have a very secret feature. And that secret feature is only revealed in the guha, in the cave of your heart. I am residing in the cave of every individual's heart. Suridam sarvabhutanam. So this Gita verse is telling this. Suridam sarvabhutanam. I am the most secretive, confidential Lord, the most intimate relation that you will ever have. I'm hiding in the bedroom of your heart, just like the society girl may wait in your bedroom for her services, if you understand my language. So it's a very confidential setting, the bedroom, and that's where this relationship unfolds. So that's where the Lord is Suridam. Surid, I am. Surid means I'm very deep. I'm very tightly wrapping around you in your heart, as your friend, as your bandhu. Suridam. We say in Hindi, there's different words to describe friend. Like the sun, Surya is called Mitra. Surya is also a friend. Mitra means friend. But Mitra is a friend like the sun. The sun is our friend. Gives us health, light, energy. Enthusiasm, purity of mind, and senses and body. But the sun is a distant friend, but beaming his rays of friendship on us. So there's Mitra. Then there's Bandhu, Dinobandhu Jagatpate, and Dinobandhu, friend of the fallen, Jagabandhu. So Bandhu is a more intimate friend. He's someone you can call on the phone. You can call him on the phone, and he can extend his friendship or not. He has a choice. But then there's Surit, friend. This friend is inseparable from your heart. Your heart is his heart is your heart. This is the friendship, the sambandha. Sambandha means completely bound. Sambandha means completely tied up. Bond, you know, like we say, nitya bhada jiva. So sambandha means completely bound, completely tied up, inexorable. You cannot get freed from that binding. This is called the jiva Bhagavan sambandha, the relationship between the jiva and Bhagavan. This is inseparable. Sometimes they sing songs in Hindi or Bengali. We have an inseparable love. Or ekatma dui deha, you know, right? Husband and wife, we are one soul in two bodies. Nice idea, but doesn't go very far. It's only the subject matter of Bengali poetry and song. But the reality, the transcendent reality, the existential reality is that jiva Bhagavan sambandha, this is inseparable relationship. This sambandha. Sambandha means... We translate sambandha gyan, abhideya gyan like this, sambandha relationship, knowledge of relationship. But sambandha, sam means samyak, means complete, full. And then bandha means bound, completely bound. And what's the example? Braj bhakti. And braj bhakti is the complete binding of the Lord. The Lord is completely bound by braj bhakti, whether it's vatsalya rati or sakya rati or madura rati. Krishna is bound by the love. There is Sakadharma, there is Sakadamadhar, there is Yashoda Damodar, and there is Nividamadhar. Nividamadhar is described by Sanatan Goswami, another of our Rasika Acharyas. Nividamadhar. So there's Damodar in Sakiras, and there's Damodar in Vatsali Ras, and there's Damodar in Madhurya Ras. Because in all three of these Braja Rasas, these devotees, be they Yashoda Ma, or Sriram Subal, or Radharani, they completely bind Krishna, sambandha, they completely bind and tie up Krishna with their pure love. It's called Samartha Rati. So this is searching for Krishna on the external plane, then they're searching for Krishna on the internal plane. Because once one finds connection with Guru, he searched the external plane, he's found the representative of the ocean of truth, or let's say the fountain of youth, the ocean of truth. He's found the representative of the Prem Sindhu, the ocean of Prema. Now he's asked the Guru, are you swimming in the ocean of Prema? Gopi Bhava Rasamri Tabdi Lahari Kalola Magna Mohar. Are you swimming in the ocean of Gopi Bhava Rasa? Gopi Bhava Rasamritam Amritam Abdi, the ocean of the nectarine mellows of Braj Bhakti, Gopi Bhav. And that, whether the Guru will say yes or no, that will be understood by the Prabhav of the Guru. That will be understood by the Katha of the Guru. And that will be understood by the effect of the Guru Sangha, what the position of the Guru is, particular Guru. So now one surrenders to the Guru. Now the Guru creates in the disciple, takes that searching propensity and drives it inward. So this becomes the inward search for God. Nityananda's Vaishnav is described here, Jagai is glorifying him as Vaishnav Adiraj. And Siddhanta Saraswati is saying, Nityananda is displaying the ideal example of serving Krishna and his pastimes of searching for Krishna. So we're discussing this point of the purport. Vaishnav Adiraj, because he's the original emperor of all Vaishnavas. And this is what all genuine Vaishnavas do. They search for Sri Krishna, Reality the Beautiful, which is a title of one of our Srila Prabhupada's God Brothers books, which is a collection of his lectures. Search for Sri Krishna. Everyone's heard of Brihad Bhagavatamrita. What was that all about? It was about searching. In every religious tradition, there's Journey of the Pilgrim, or the Way of the Pilgrim, the Pilgrim's Way. So the guru, when we meet the proper guru, the guru creates in the disciple the desire to search internally. Because our external search has found fulfillment by connecting with Sadguru, with the Brajaras, Sadguru. Now our external search, there has been some satisfaction or fulfillment to our heart's hankering. The hankering of our heart, the inner hankering of the heart, this cannot be neglected. This cannot be overlooked. Bhakti is not a mental condition, although there are certain mental requirements. The philosophical aspect of the mind, the desire of the mind to know, is satisfied by the philosophy of Vaishnavism, Tattva Siddhanta, satisfies the hankering and the searching of the mind, answer the questions, remove the doubts, bring light where there's darkness. But there's also the hankering of the heart. There's mind's hankering and there's heart's hankering. And that's why bhakti is the perfect fusion of both, mind and heart. Other philosophies fall short on one department or another. And Prabhupada explained this concept by saying, religion without philosophy is... Remember? Religion without philosophy is just... sentimental. And philosophy without religion is just speculation. So here, what sentiments and speculation are talking about mind and heart. Vairagya vidya nija bhakti yoga. So bhakti yoga is the fusion. Bhakti is the fusion of mind and heart. So therefore, full satisfaction. So if one is only approaching the bhakti philosophy from the mental aspect, and he's not satisfying the hankering of his heart, he cannot sustain his pursuit. He will become dry. So therefore, the guru's role is to teach the disciple how to search internally for that beautiful, sweet Lord dancing in the heart. Mama mandire rahanishi din Krishna murari Sri Krishna murari. There's this famous Bangladeshi song. Mama mandire rahanishi dine. That in the temple of my heart, in the temple of my heart, there's a very beautiful, sweet Lord playing there. And he doesn't play alone. He's always in a sangha. He has his sanghanis, his sanghis, his sanghanis. He's in association. The sakas and sakis, gopa and gopis. So he's playing in my heart. So guru teaches the devotee to develop, become intensely mad for searching for Krishna in the heart. And this is called Vipralamba Bhajan. Vipralamba Bhajan. The bhajan which increases my greed, my lobha, to find Krishna in my heart. The real me is in the heart. And the shudanam, when the mirror is clean, what do you see? If you have a mirror full of dust and grime and dirt, you look in the mirror, you can't see anything. It simply looks like a piece of glass, dirty glass, bordered by some wood. But then you polish and clean the mirror. Oh. We see ourselves, or at least our body. So this chit darpan, the mirror of the consciousness, the holy name cleanses. Srinvatam swakata krishna punya shravana kirtana vriyantaksta yabhadrani virunati surit satam. Surit, again we find this word, surit satam. Very famous verse. Shrinvatam swagata krishna punya shravana kirtana vridyantakshta yubhadrani virunauti suritsutam.
Again, our surit, our very dear friend. Remember that old friend. Suridam sarvabhutanam bhaktaram yagatapasam.
Oh, the same friend of Gita, the same surit friend is coming to me in the Bhagavatam, graduate study.
Acha.
Ah, Shinvatam Swa Kata Krishna Punya. Okay, Punya, that's fine. Okay, Punya is good. But what about my heart? What about the hankering of my heart, the need of my heart? The demand of love, the heart's demand. I'm here. Suridam, Surit. You're listening to me, you're hearing me with rapt attention, hearing with a desire to surrender. Right, hearing with a desire to serve, serving with a desire to surrender, surrendering with a desire to love me alone, ananya, ananyas chintyanto mam, ananya bhakti. No bhakti for anyone else. Ananya bhakti, no bhakti for mami bhakti, mama bhakti, chacha bhakti. It's all chalak, it's all kapat, it's all cheating. Ananya, ananya bhakti. Bhakti only for me, the Lord of the heart, the Lord of the heart, the lover of the heart. You're hearing like this, then I must help you. I have to help you. I will help you. Marjan, Riddhi Marjan. Krishna personally, with his own hand, his own beautiful, soft lotus petal hand, his fingers are like lotus petals. So soft, so delicate and gentle. With his own hand, he cleans the heart. He cleanses the heart. Then we see Krishna in the heart. Chaito Darpana Marjanam. So this Shudanam pleases Krishna. Krishna's in the heart as the dearest, nearest friend. Then he cleanses his heart and says, look, see! See in the mirror, see in your own heart, I'm here. Mama mandire rahanishihidin. Rahasya. Krishna Murari. You're a Murari. You're in my heart. You killed the Mora demon, and you've killed the Mora demon in my heart. And now you're playing there. Krishna Murari, you're playing your Murali. This Kam Gayatri is coming. Ah, this Kam Gayatri is coming with the form of Krishna's coming, and the flute of Krishna's coming, and the Kam Gayatri. This is the search. So Guru gives the mantras, because if someone says, where's the treasure? And Chaitanya Charitamrita says, don't dig in the south, you get bitten, don't dig in the north. The treasure is there. That treasure is discussed in the Madhya Leela. There's this analogy about the man who has received, his father has died and buried a treasure. So then the astrologer is saying, don't dig in the north, you'll get bitten up by wasps. Go in this way. And you get the treasure. The treasure is, what is this analogy about? It's all about the treasure of bhakti in the heart of the jiva. This is the treasure of love. So then the guru is giving the key. They say, first you turn, there's a wall safe, and the wall safe has a lock. First you turn to the right, doot, 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 number one. And then you go to the left, doot, 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 two, doot, doot, two. So he's giving the combination of the lock. He's giving the way to find the Lord of the heart, giving Gopal mantra, giving Kam Gayatri, Maha mantra, and Seva. So this search for Krishna in the heart, this is Nityananda's teaching us. Because Nityananda is Guru. Nityananda is teaching the ideal example of searching for Krishna, and he appears as Guru to create that intense Purvarag. That intense, this is Purvarag Abhas. This is not Purvarag in the spiritual world among the Parishads. This is a semblance, a type of Purvarag, an intense attachment that develops before we actually meet Krishna and engage in our eternal loving service. Or Krishna and his associates in Anugatya. So Guru creates this, that we become so intensely eager, I must find the Lord in my heart. I must meet the Lord in my heart. And there's so many bhajans to encourage this mood. and so many songs. So this is a nice teaching that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati is pointing out. No one has ever distributed such mercy on the Gaudiyas as Sri Nityananda has in his pastimes of awarding the ecstatic love for Krishna that was distributed by the munificence of Sri Chaitanya. By his mercy, there is a ray of hope that the living entities of this material world may become qualified for the service of Lord Gaurasundara's intimate associates. So just see this beautiful sentence. By the mercy of Nityananda, which comes in the form of Guru, Nityananda Shakti, by the mercy of Nityananda, one can become qualified. There is a ray of hope. What is it? Asha Kiran, a ray of hope. There's a ray of hope that the living entities of Kali Yuga can become so qualified, so purified, so elevated and perfected that they can enter into the eternal association and service of Gadadhara Pandit. Sri Rupa Goswami, Sanatan, Sri Sarup Damodar, and Sri Raghunath Das Goswami. The activities of relishing the holy names by Vaishnav Adiraj Nityananda, who Patijache Namahata Jivera Karan, has set up a Namhat. Nityananda has set up a Namhat in Godrum Dweep for distributing Bhaktivinoda praise like this, for setting up a marketplace, for distributing the holy names to the living entities. This distinguishes Nityananda as the Acharya. May Nityananda be repeatedly glorified. So this is the Tika of Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur on this particular stuti of Jagai and Madhai. May Nityananda be forever glorified. Jai Nitai. Right? Jai Nitai. When you go to Eka Chakra, if you survive the journey, it's 4 hours, but actually this is it's very special 4 hours because this 4 hours seems like four yugas or more. Every hour seems like a yuga. So 4 hours becomes four yugas. But it's a very special road because by the time you get to Eka Chakra, practically every single material desire has been bounced out of you. Boing, 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 tong, 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 tong. And when you get there, as soon as you get there, I remember I've been there 3 or 4 times in my life, and we hope to go in a few days on the 15th. And so when you get there, as soon as you get there, at least the one we got there, and actually we came a different way. The first time we came from Vrindavan, and we came from a local train, and we actually walked. You know, we didn't actually go 4 hours from Mayapur. But when I first got there, when I first arrived there, even however you get there, it's difficult. And when we got there, as soon as we got there, a little boy, he wasn't blue or anything, but a little golden color boy, he came up, and because I had never been there before, I didn't really know all what to expect, and I had no guidebooks, and there was nothing. I just knew that it was a place to go, and this is about 20 years ago. So I went there, and one little boy came up to me and said, "Jai Nitai." I said, "Oh, yeah, okay, Jai Nitai." So then I went a little further. A little girl came and said, "Jai Nitai." I said, "Oh, Jai Nitai." And then pretty soon, within 5 minutes, I heard Jai Nitai 108 times. And I realized, oh, this place, the mantra is Jai Nitai. Because I stay in Vrindavan, and the mantra there is Radhe Radhe. Radhe Radhe. Radhe Radhe. Radhe Radhe. Oh, Prabhu, Prabhu, Radhe Radhe. Your father died. Oh, Prabhu, Radhe Radhe, your wife ran off with somebody from ISKCON. Huh? But that's a speciality of Brijbasis. They always give you the good news before they give you the bad news. So Radhe Radhe is good. Radhe Radhe, Radhe Radhe. This is good news. To hear Srimati Radharani's name, Radhe Radhe, is good news. But no matter what they're going to tell you, Radhe Radhe. Radhe Radhe. Dad quite give you a goldie. Radhe Radhe. Hey, Radhe Radhe. Tum. So that's the mantra. And here, I don't know what the mantra is. Hari Bol or Nitai Gaur. What is the mantra? People that live here, what is the basic mantra of Navadvip Mandal? Hari Bol? Or? Is there any mantra? I mean, among Navadvip, mostly Muslims here, of course, but among the Navadvip Hindu Vasis, Vaishnavasis, do they have any particular mantra? Really? I mean, that's ISKCON, but I mean, the people, like Brijvasis, they're not ISKCON, they're Brijvasis. Nandagaon, Barsana, Kamyavan, Gokul, Mathura, Vrindavan, Trasikosh, Dwarasavan, Radhe Radhe, Jai Shri Radhe, Radhe Radhe. Everywhere. There's no mantra like that in Navadvip Mandal? Must be Hari Bol. I always thought it was Hari Bol. Rikshawala, Hari Bol, Hari Bol Prabhu, Hari Bol Prabhu, Mandir Javo, 10 rupi, 10 taka, Acha, chalo. Mandir Javo, Hari Bol, Hari Bol Prabhu, Hari Bol Prabhu. You just put some, it's called Pan Basha. Bangla's pan basha. Just keep some pan. Hello, hello, hello. Oh, mother trouble, mother trouble, bosom, 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 prabhu, horrible, kick horrible. Yeah, yeah, the dogs in Vrindavan, they say, Radhe, 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 Radhe. You're like, Gaur, 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 Gaur. Text 256. Jaya Jaya Shankha Chakra Ghada Padmadhar Prabhura Vigraha Jaya Adut Avaduta Var. All glories to the Lord who holds the conch disc club and lotus. All glories to the best of avaduts who is non-different from the Lord. So in all these prayers, Jagai and Madai are glorifying their Ishtadevatas. They're glorifying Gaur Nitai. Because Gaur Nitai saved them. Lord Gauranga saved Jagai. Lord Nityananda saved Madai. Because Jagai was a little bit merciful towards Nitai, he stopped Madai from further aggression. So then he won the heart. He attracted the heart of Gauranga. So Gauranga delivered him. Put his foot on his chest. Sri Chaitanya Charan Vakshe. Vakshe Sri Charan. Sri Chaitanya Charan. And then he held, Jagai held Lord Chaitanya's feet on his head, and I mean on his chest, Vaksha. But Madai, Gaur said, I'm not giving mercy, Nityananda will help you. So Nityananda delivered Madai, who threw Madai through the pot. So now they've both been delivered by Gaur Nitai. So they're both offering these prayers to Gaur Nitai. So every verse is glorifying Chaitanya, the first line, then the second line is Nityananda. So the very, if anyone is a worshipper of Gaur Nitai, for example, many devotees, they have deities of Gaur Nitai. Some devotees have Gaur Gadadhar. Some devotees have Mahaprabhu, Rasaraj, Mahaprabhu, depending on their bhav or viewpoint or whatever. So if we have deities of Gaur Nitai, these are very excellent prayers. You can write these on a sheet and offer these prayers. Jagai Madai Stuti. Jaya Jaya Dvaita, Jaya Jaya Dvaita Jivan Gora Chandra, Jaya Jaya Sahasra Vadana Nityananda. All glories to Gora Chandra, the life of Advaita, Advaita Jivan. All glories to the thousand headed Nityananda, Sahasra Vadana Nityananda. So you see that Jagai and Madai, of course, they are born Brahmins, Jagannanda and Madhavananda, and possibly they studied some Tattva Siddhanta. But they wouldn't have understood very much about Nityananda because that's somewhat rahasya tattva. But nevertheless, now that they've been blessed by Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda, they've realized all the shastras. Tesham sarata yuktanam bhajatam pratipurvagam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upiyantate. That Krishna, Gauranga, and Nitai have given them intelligence and given them knowledge. So now, Jagai Madai, they understand that this Nityananda, he's Anantashesh. He's Sahasravarana. Sahasravarana Nityananda. Sahasravarana. That, oh, Nityananda. It's not the Nityananda standing there with a thousand faces. That's a little bit too much Aishvarya. This is Naralila. But what's happening is, due to this bhakti, the influence of bhakti, then all jnana is there. Like the first canto of Bhagavatam. Bhakti brings jnana, detachment. So they're understanding, yes, we know who you are. We know that you have so many expansions and so many different forms. And one of your forms is Anantashesh, with your 1,000 heads. So I'm glorifying you by mentioning all your different avatars. Just like he mentioned that in the previous verse, that you hold a shank, gada, chakra, and padma. And Lord Chaitanya is just standing there with two arms, dui buj, nararup. But the Jagannamayya understanding, yes, you are also Vishnu, Narayan, Chaturbhuj, Narayan, with the four symbols. Jaya Gadadhara Pran, Murari Ishvar, Jaya Haridasa Vasudeva Priyankar, Murari Ishvar, Vasudeva Priyankar, Advaita Jivan Sahasravadan. These are the basic words that are being said. It's Jaya Jaya, then it's some two words, three words. Advaita Jivan Sahasravadan, Gadadhar Pran, Haridas Vasudev Priyankara, Mari Ishvara. Mari Ishvara Priyankara, Gadadhar Pran, Haridas Vasudev. So all glories to the life and soul of Gadadhar and the Lord of Murari. So this is a glorification of Lord Gauranga. He is the Lord of Murari Gupta in all his forms. Murari Gupta is also Ramachandra, and then Lord Chaitanya is Ram. Then is Gadadhar Pran. It's obvious that he is the Pran of Gadadhar, because Gadadhar is Radharani. More Prananath. That Krishna is the Prananath of Radharani. And Gauranga is the Pran. Gadadhar Pran is another glorification of Lord Chaitanya. And Haridas Vasudev Priyankara. So he's the benefactor of Haridas and Vasudev, Nityananda. Papi Udari Le Jata Nana Avatare Parama Adbhutta Taha Goshaye Samsare. You have delivered numerous sinful persons in your various incarnations. Papi Udarila Nana Avatare. This is glorified throughout the world as the most wonderful. Parama Adbhutta. Amadui Patakira Dekiya Udhar Apatwa Paila Purva Mahima Tomar. By delivering us two, however, your past glories have become minimized. In other words, that was very glorious in what the lords had previously done. And all their different incarnations or descents, they liberated so many demons and benefited and elevated so many devotees. They saved Ajamil. But that can't compare at all to the amazing glories of liberating and delivering the deliverance of Jagai and Madai. That becomes that all the glory, the liberation, the deliverance or liberation of Jagai and Madai eclipses all the other fantastic deeds that they had done. Now they say that. Ajamila Udarera Jateka Mahatwa Amara Udhare Seho Pahila Alpatwa. Even the glories of delivering Ajamil have been minimized by delivering us. Because as we mentioned the other day, another place in Chaitanya Bhagavat, there was a protest. There was a strike, a worker's strike in Yamapuri. The secretaries went on strike. They refused to work. Chandragupta and all his scribes, all his secretaries, they told Chandragupta and Yamaraj, "We quit. We won't work anymore." I said, "Why? What's wrong? You're not getting paid enough? You don't have proper benefits? There's no senior brahmachari ashram? There's no health benefits when you get old?" No, it's not like that. But our hands are falling off. All the secretaries said, "We can't write anymore. Jagai and Madai are committing so many sins so fast and so many sins and so fast that we can't write them all down in the books, in Yamaraj's record book. His accounting book. He has one accounting book for pop and one accounting book for punya. Punya account and pop account. But there's nothing in the punya account. That's completely empty. We closed that account long ago. But this pop account, we've gone through hundreds of ledgers. One ledger, two ledgers. Look at this whole room is full of ledgers. These are all the account ledgers of all their pop. And we quit. We're not going to write anymore. This is what Vrindavanadas Thakur is describing, the volume, the unlimited volume of Jagai Madai's sinful activities. It's inconceivable. It sounds hilarious and humorous because on one level it is, but the hard fact is it's true. It's not an exaggeration. So then Chandragupta tried to mediate the situation. Yamaraj, they called in some lawyers and they mediated between the strikers, you know, the secretaries and the bosses, and they made it. They came up with a plea bargain and they satisfied them. No, don't wait, just keep writing, because very soon Nityananda is going to deliver them. So then, now Jagai Madai is saying, you delivered a Jamio in the Bhagavatam. Okay, he was one sinner, we're two. And he did a few sins. Okay, he racked up a few sins in his 80 years with a prostitute. But that his 80 years is like 80 days. His 80 years of sin is like 80 days of our lives. And there's two of us besides. So it's nothing. Satyakai ami kichu stuti nahi kari uchite ajamil mukti adikari. Jagai Madai said, oh Gornitai, we are not flattering you. We're speaking the truth. Satya. Ajamil was actually fit for liberation. Ajamil mukti adikari. He was eligible. Why was he eligible for liberation? Because he chanted. What did he chant? Narayana, 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 Narayana. This is what they do in Bhagavad Saptahas. Narayana, when they're in sixth canto, then they get the harmonium. Narayana, 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 Narayana. He chanted one time Narayana, Namabhas, and he was delivered. Did we chant? Yeah, boom. We didn't chant anything. We chanted all kinds of four-letter words. Narayana is many Narayana, many letters, so many syllables. The Ajamil didn't chant four-letter words. You, this, that, some, you know, whatever. But we, when you came, we were drunk. We were totally drunk. Narayana wasn't drunk. He was paranoid. I mean, Ajamil was paranoid. Narayana. He wasn't drunk. He was totally sober. He was fully aware that I'm dying, I'm leaving my body, it's all over, Khatam Hogya. And the Yamadutes are taking me to a place I don't want to go to. I'm just totally frightened. But we didn't, what did we do? We didn't do anything. He was eligible, he had the Adhikar qualification for Mukti. We didn't do anything, but still you were so merciful. Koti Brahma Vadi Jadi Tavanamalai Sadya Moksha Paratara Vede Satyakai. It is stated in the Vedas that a person who has killed millions of brahmanas immediately attains liberation if he chants your name. This is also in the Bhagavatam, 6th canto, chapter 13, verse 8. Brahmaha pitriha gognao matrihacharya hagavan shwada pulkasakovapi sudyaran. Yes, Sikirtanat. One who has killed a Brahman, a cow, or his father, mother, or spiritual master can immediately be freed from all sinful reactions simply by chanting the holy name of Lord Narayan. Of course, one should not sin on the strength of the holy name. Like one should not commit offenses on the strength of the holy name, right? So someone might read this and think, well, really, I don't like my guru. And if I kill my guru, I just say Narayan, then I'm freed from the sin. It's a terrible thought, but in Kali Yuga, it's also mentioned in Shastras that this happens sometimes in Kali Yuga, that disciples kill their guru, either literally or figuratively. So if one does that, then he's committing sin, then he gets a reaction. So it's a little bit catch-22. But there are verses. This is in Padma Puran. Brahmaha hema dhariva balaha go Gogna evahi, excuse me, evacha, muchite nama matrena prasadat keshavasyatu. One who kills a Brahmin, steals gold, kills a child, kills a cow. Of course, that means abortion, kills a child, I suppose. Or maybe it just means kills a child, a living, you know, out of the womb. One who commits other heinous sins can be immediately freed from all sinful reactions simply by chanting the names of Keshava. One thing that's interesting, because as everyone or most devotees know, that it is impossible to understand shastras without guru, teacher, or any subject really, to fully understand it, have a proper command, and to follow, to really get the proper understanding and execute the teaching correctly without getting negative reaction. One needs a teacher, instructor, or guru. So many of these verses, of course, this is taken there to show a point, but the real point is not that I can do these things, kill a child or my mother or father, and then chant Hare Krishna or Narayan, and it's okay. These verses, and this is what the acharyas will explain when you read the tikkas on these verses, the acharyas will explain, these verses are not trying to encourage one or to give some facility. They're not trying to encourage one to kill the mother or father or whomever, or give facility, or give a loophole, or give a way for that activity. But what they're actually doing is glorifying the power of the holy name. These are nam mahima, in other words, the real intention of the verse is not that chanting Hare Krishna is a means of prayaschitta for all these heinous sins. It's not what it's saying. Generally, all these verses are actually describing, this is how powerful the holy name is. And then they also explain, when it says if one chants the name of Narayan, well, it has to be a particular category, particular quality of chanting. It can't be nam aparad. So one of the nam aparad, this is very interesting, one of the nam aparads is to disregard shastra ninda, to offend the shastras. So in the shastras it said one should honor his mother and father. So how do you honor your mother and father and serve your superiors and at the same time kill them? Doesn't work. So if you kill your mother and father on the strength of this verse and then you say Narayan, your Narayan is aparad nam, because you're not following the shastras, which say don't kill you. Because the shastras actually say don't kill your mother and father and don't kill your guru. So that's why an ordinary person, that's why traditionally shastras are only allowed to be studied by Brahmins. Then Brahmins would explain them to the other classes of society, because they have the intellectual acumen and the discretion and the fine intelligence to be able to understand what's really being said. Because if you give shastras in the hands of a foolish person, hey, look at this. You can kill your mother and father and say Narayan. Doom, doom, Narayan. You know, because the only problem I had to join, I could have joined ISKCON, but my mother was against it and my father was against it. So I saw this verse, oh, that makes it easy. Boom, boom, okay. Now they're not against it. Now I join ISKCON, Narayan. Kill my mother and father, say Narayan and join ISKCON. It's in the Shastra. It's Shastra Vidhi. This, if you do this, you'll go to hell. Plus you'll get arrested by the police and go to jail for murder. The Calcutta police will arrest you and put you in jail for murder of your mother and father. You say, no, Padma Puran says it's okay. Yeah, okay, fine. Now you stay in jail for the rest of your life. Or get executed. So always guru is required to understand that the fine points of the shastra. What the shastra is really trying to say, and the real intention of the shastra, is often not exactly what's literally being said. But then sometimes it is literally what is being said. That's why Prabhupada is commenting in Gita that they take the exact instructions of the Gita, then they give interpretation. Oh, it's not the five Pandavas, it's the Panchindriya. It's not that we should surrender to Krishna, we should surrender to the unborn within Krishna. You know, they give interpretations on the direct, clear words of Krishna. So therefore, it becomes confusing. When are the shastras speaking literally and exactly what it's saying, and when are they speaking figuratively? Or it's called parokshavad, in an indirect way. That's why we need guru. That's why Prabhupada wrote the Bhagavad Gita as it is. This is the literal exact words. But we needed Prabhupada. The world needed Srila Prabhupada to present the Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise, the other 700 editions of Bhagavad Gita were the Bhagavad Gita as it isn't. Bhagavad Gita as it is not. or Bhagavad Gita as it should not be, or Bhagavad Gita as it could be, or Bhagavad Gita as I see it, or as I want it to be, or as I feel it to be. So this is all misinterpretation. When there's need for interpretation, Guru will give the interpretation, or the Acharya's Tikas, the Mahajanacharya's. If there's no need for interpretation, the Guru will give us the direct meaning as it is. So that's why Tadvidi Pranipatena Paripashnena Sevya. That we must surrender to Guru to understand the truth. Without Guru, it's impossible to understand the truth, and the truth comes through Shastra. So therefore, Shastra are the embodiment of truth, and the Guru is like the glasses. He's like the spectacles. When you put on the spectacles, then you can read, you can see. If you take off your glasses, your spectacles, you can't see. So Guru gives the ability to see the truth. He's the, now I can see. But if we're left, because this is Shabda, this is a Parashaya Gyan, it is transcendental subject matter. So we're not transcendental. So to understand transcendence must be revealed to us by a transcendental person. The finite cannot understand the infinite, but the infinite can reveal himself to the finite. So the infinite reveals himself to the finite by his representative, who is Guru, who represents what is called the infinite truth, or the infinite tattva, which is called Akhanda Guru Tattva. Akhanda Guru Tattva means, Akhanda means no break. The truth is eternal, and the Guru is connected to that Akhanda Guru Tattva, so he can reveal the infinite to the finite living entity. So tomorrow we'll continue with Chaitanya Bhagavat.